Right, Birch, are you ready to go? Have you got that epic music lined up?
Well, no. Well, you see,
No.
apparently it's a little bit too epic. It's a bit
Too
too,
epic.
yeah, apparently we've had letters, and people have been basically driving too quickly and basically thinking that they're in some sort of bizarre action film because it's too
It's
much.
too much.
So now people are starting to commute again. We don't need someone to basically kick in music that epic while driving, because suddenly you're in tennis, you're driving through traffic, you're weaving, you're
It
going
gets all a
backwards.
bit
It's all
fast and
kicking. It's
furious.
all getting a bit fast for you. So we have different music. So this is a work in progress, but here is the new intro music. Are you ready?
Okay.
Right,
Yes,
strap in.
strapped in. Strapped
Here we
in, ready
go.
to go.
This is a Fantasy Film League show. So what do you think?
That was it.
Yeah. Okay, hang on, I'll play it
Right.
again. I'll play it again. Hang on, wait, I'll play it again.
Okay.
This is a Fantasy Film League show. What
I have to say, to be honest, it's a
do you
little
think?
bit,
I
it's a
mean,
bit
feedback's good.
underwhelming. It's not, I think you might have pushed the dial a bit back the other way. Too much.
Do you think I
It's a bit
overcompensated?
flat,
Oh.
to be frank. Yeah. I think
Oh,
people
okay.
might fall asleep listening to that.
All right,
We
okay.
need something in between those two ends of the
All right.
spectrum.
Okay, I'll work on it.
Okay.
Okay, I'll do the intro then. It's the funny Fantasy Film League show.
Just
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Film League show. A bit of a low key start, but we're working on it, and we'll see what we can do. We've got loads to go through. We've got stuff.
oh,
We've got guests.
exciting times
I
at the Bell
know. Look,
Towers.
check us out. We've got guests. We've also got things to talk about, and three of my favorite subjects are going to be covered in one story.
Wow. That's
Yes.
intense.
And I've seen films. No, I haven't gone out and seen
What?
films yet. I haven't gone out
Oh,
and seen
okay.
films
Right.
yet, but I'm working on that. But that is next. But so we've got loads to cover. We don't need to cover Palm Springs this week because I think we've covered that like five shows in a row. So I think we're done
Yeah.
with Palm Springs. But we do have other stuff to talk about. We need to get going. Ready?
Yes. Hit
Okay.
it.
Oh, hang on. Dubstep or normal?
Normal. Dubstep. Normal, dubstep. Like, you
Dubstep.
choose.
It's in the news. I love it. I'm sorry. I still love it.
There's something about the drop. I can't
I'm
put my
messing.
name
I'm
around
messing
it.
with the drop. I keep changing the gap in the drop. Yeah, because I'm bored. Because you see,
That hurts.
I'm usually starting recording this about 20 minutes before you turn up, so I have time to think about stuff. Like for example, this week's background is a little bit different. No one can see the background, but that's just for you,
It
Smith.
is, although it explains a lot.
It does explain a lot. And then I am messing with it. Anyway, dubstep news. So. UK cinemas are back open again.
Yeah, woo!
I haven't been yet, which
No.
is, not great, but at the
But
same
I
time,
actually want to, I totally want to go
there are
soon.
films and there are films on. And it's cool. We've got all kinds of stuff. So, Peter Rabbit
We will
2.
cover some of this when we go through the upcoming films slots
Yeah.
for gameplays in
But
a bit, but yeah.
there's a few. I mean, there's not an. So looking at my local multiplexal cinema, there's not a huge number of viewings. There's not a huge number of showings. They are quite distant, until you get to Peter Rabbit, which is on like every half an hour,
That is
for some
the
reason.
literal floodgates of
As yeah, and but
cinema.
yeah. So actual film. So I mean, it's possible. So we're recording this on a Saturday morning. But we don't do the scores until Sunday. But it's quite possible that there might actually be data in the
UK
UK box
scores.
office.
If not this week,
Possibly.
next week, for
If not
sure.
this week, then certainly next week. So we're kind of back, baby,
Yes.
which is
Good.
cool.
It's good news. That's proper good news.
Yes, proper good news. So it's all looking a little bit rosier. So yeah, I'm genuinely really happy about that. So yeah,
me too.
That was it in my news. That's all I've got.
That's it. Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to go say that really loudly and be enthusiastic about it.
Yes.
I do have other news.
Okay.
But it's Henry Cavill.
I feel
it's Henry Cavill related.
Oh, I have an inkling I might know what this is about. But yes, you said that there was a news item that crossed over three of your favourite things. I know what this is, but I won't steal your thunder. You go.
I'm genuinely okay. So we don't need the Budget Bond theme for this, but
no.
But
maybe we need a new theme.
This potentially wrecks my Bond thing. So Henry Cavill has signed up to be in a remake of Highlander.
Right? So good. Yeah.
Now,
mind blown.
I mean, awesome. I mean, already in The Witcher, which is kind of cool. Depends on how you go. But Highlander is like the most 80s film ever.
You can see the chessboard move from The Witcher to... It's a fairly obvious jump from one square to the next.
It's running around. But so this broke yesterday. And the first thing I commented on it when I saw it on an Insta story was, well, there goes my Bond bet. Like, yeah. God damn it! But
that was pretty much my first thought.
I know. So I'm a bit annoyed about that. I'm happy that. Am I happy that they're going to remake Highlander? It's about time.
You know what? I would genuinely have said no until I saw it was Henry Cavill, and actually I think he would be really good in it. I think it could be all right.
But. Anyway, that was it. I saw that last night and I was like, woohoo! There can be only one. Queen soundtrack. Now, I know this is reusing an idea that you had for Flash Gordon, but I'd like Muse to do the soundtrack for Highlander, please, because I think it would be awesome. So yes, I'm 100% behind this idea. Highlander was released in 85.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
Is that 36 years ago? He says trying to do the maths.
Yeah, a long time ago. And I remember seeing it. I think I must have seen it. I think in the early, very early 90s. Because I didn't see it when it first came out. And I saw it when it came out, and it was like the film. It was just, and it's such a bad
Clancy
film.
Clancy Brown as well.
Clancy Brown is in that. Sean Connery's obviously in that, but we all know you know, that's where we all started.
So I'm wondering if they're sort of like they were waiting for. I wonder if they were waiting for him to pass before they dared remake it. Because other people he's just gone. No.
Indeed. Well, he did turn up in the second one, which am I correct in saying that you still haven't seen the second one purely because you've just believed me when I told you that it's the worst film ever.
To this very day, I have honoured your word. Well, I honoured my word to you that I would never sully my experience of Highlander 1 by watching Highlander 2.
It could be a bad film club.
Amazing. Yes. Go for it.
But so there's been like 1,000 Highlander films and there's been a TV series and it's all
much Highlander.
Yeah, but they...
Although I think it's dried up of late, right?
Yes.
It's ready, like you say, it's ready. They have rested it.
It's been suitably rested. So yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. That was it. I just wanted to shout Henry Cavill and Highlander. I promise I will not mention Henry Cavill again. In other Henry Cavill news...
What?
Just a very quick one. I finally sat down and committed 4 hours of my life and watched Justice League... Uncut, super duper. Now I'm not going to cover this in great thing because there are legions of people out there who have already done this. But did you watch the original Justice League? Did you watch it when it came out?
No.
Okay.
No.
Don't bother. It's not a very good film.
Because of comments like that.
It's not a very good film. But I watched the 4-hour cut, and besides the fact that it's only four. If they took all the slow motion out, it would probably be a solid 2.5 hours. But there's a lot of running and then suddenly goes into slow motion mode. And you go, why is all the slow motion? Anyway, that's a Zack Snyder thing. I'm going to let him go. The man's directed more films than I have, so it's fine. But it's actually It's all right.
Okay.
It's
but
not
still
great.
4 hours long.
It's
right.
4 hours long, but it doesn't seem like four. Now, granted, I couldn't watch it in four. I watched it in two runs, but it's actually it's all right. It's not bad. It
so
makes a lot more sense.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, it's not great, but if you're gonna watch a Justice League film, watch the Snyder version,
right.
The 4 hour version,
okay.
Rather than the other version. Because
so
the...
it's quite a bit better, but it's also quite a bit longer.
It makes more sense. Okay. There's more bits in it where you go, oh yeah, okay.
Right.
But then
okay.
It ends, and then it kind of ends, and then it kind of
yeah.
ends again, and you go, okay.
Right.
All right. It ends more times than the Lord of the Rings movies. But
wow.
Yeah,
and that's a lot of endings.
Not a bad film. Not
okay.
a bad film. It was
okay. Well, so sort of effort justified at some level.
I'm not a huge fan of having people screaming things on Twitter and then they come true, because I think it sets a bad precedent.
Yes.
However,
yeah.
Fair play to him. There's a lot of reasons around why Zack Snyder didn't finish that film, and there
yes.
are personal reasons. So I'm quite
yeah,
glad that he
indeed.
Got to finish it the way he wanted it. But yeah,
yep.
It's all right. It's all right. That was it. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
In other Henry Cavill, no, I'm not joking. No more Henry Cavill.
I don't think I could sustain three bits of Henry Cavill.
No, that's
be,
it. Now, I mean, people may already think that we have an unhealthy obsession with Mr. Cavill, and we kind of do.
Yeah, in short,
which I'm fine with.
Well, you know, the first step is admitting you have the problem. You know.
Indeed. Well, we are flying through this today. Ask me. I'm done. I'm finished. Can we?
Right.
Can we,
I think because we've got some guests coming, but they're still in the chopper flying in right to FL Towers. So
well, we have to blindfold them, and
yep.
you know, there's a whole
exactly.
security
well,
thing.
I know, right?
Obviously.
So I think while we're waiting for them to turn up, we're going to just look ahead at some films that are
great
up, for people who are playing the game. Now we're going to shift around which weeks we look at. We're actually going to look at like the week we record now and then the following week rather than a little bit into the future, because we think that's going to be more helpful. So we've kind of covered the films that are coming out this weekend already. So I'm just going to look 1 week into the future, and there's a handful yep. of things coming up. So, and we're sort of talking now about the weekend or Friday, May the 28th. So the end of May.
So be aware that these films will probably drop in the UK at the same time. So you're now potentially earning double.
I'll call out the ones that are definitely coming out. Okay, so the first one up is a film called Endangered Species. And this is about an American family that go on a safari in Africa. And in the trailer, you kind of see... there's the mum who's sort of up for it, and then the kind of quiet, reserved dad who's a bit of a klutz and, you know, is sort of a bit concerned about everything going wrong, and some bratty kids, and they go out in the Jeep, and then bad things happen. But then good news, you know, they have a bit of a bad time being mauled by animals. Good news, Jerry O'Connell, their guide, turns up and saves them.
Awesome.
Or does
or
he?
Or does he? I knew you were going to hit it.
It goes from looking like a sort of an average family out of their normal environments bickering comedy. It suddenly flips into being hunted by Jerry O'Connell. I'm not sure I can take Jerry O'Connell quite seriously as a bad dude, but he appears to be the bad dude. He's the only person in the game who you can pick. Currently.
Well, we need to add Rebecca Rummagen in.
Indeed. And the other, the dad is played by a guy called Philip Winchester, who I'm sorry, Philip, I'd not heard of before. It looks okay. It's R-rated.
I know Philip Winchester. Right? He's been in a few films. He was in Thunderbirds. He was in...
Oh. Ooh.
He's been that guy in a few... that's where I recognise him from. There was a TV show called Strike Back, which was basically just men being men, and guns. It was just like okay. It was yeah.
So I think he's possibly playing against type, and he's wearing glasses in this. And I kept thinking, is that John Cena wearing glasses?
He does look a little bit like off, John Cena.
And then yeah. he took him off, and he's like, no, that's not John Cena. No, anyway, I don't think we should waste any more time on this because it looks a bit rubbish. I think we okay. should look at some other
it's,
films.
So it's a thrill. It's not like a kid-friendly film then, because we've...
Oh,
we've
no, got... I think it's like a... No. It's R-rated, right? That's so your first problem, right?
It's dead. It's dead calm in the jungle. I'm with you. Okay.
100%. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Okay. Screeching of brakes as we pull a massive handbrake turn and look at another film. This one is called American Traitor. This is based on a true story of an American who was used to transmit the voice of like propaganda broadcast from the Nazis during the Second World War. I think she was called Axis Sally. This is based on a true story, and it's got Al Pacino playing a lawyer who's defending her in court. Ooh. And you have...
Sorry, I'm legally required to go, hoo-ah, if you say opportunity.
Indeed. He has, in the trailer, he has the best worst hair that I've seen on Al Pacino ever. So awesome. I hope he's doing that because to look like the real person. Sorry, I was twiddling my pen and dropped it. That's what you're hearing. Don't worry.
So this is like courtroom drama where it they're is, basically... 100%.
With Al Pacino, right? And he does shout at least one point in the courtroom. During the trailer, so
he's legally required.
It's going to be pretty good. It looks like it's going to be interesting, and so I can use the word interesting again in quick succession. It's also R-rated, so I'm not quite sure where it goes. It's certainly not, you wouldn't think it from the trailer, but there you go. Also has Thomas Kretschmann, who you can pick.
Who's Thomas Kretschmann?
He's been in a couple of things, but nothing I...
He's playing Joseph Goebbels. Now, spoilers, it doesn't end well for him. and rightly so.
yeah. So I think with it being a courtroom drama and it being R-rated, I'm not sure this is going to do great. It's more, like you said, it feels more like a Sunday afternoon movie at home. It doesn't feel like it needs to be on the big screen. I think people are going to go for spectacle, as we've discussed before. So I think I'm mentioning it because of Al Pacino, and he's not too. Neither of these guys are too expensive, so they might be worth a gamble. But we're still a bit thin pickings. Anyway,
okay,
let's part that one. Let's keep going. Keep it quick. Let's move on to something a little bit more interesting. Cruella, starring
Emma Stone. It's
now,
it's the origin. What is it with Disney making lots and lots of origin stories?
We've got Maleficent
with Angelina Jolie and her cheekbones. Film. No, it wasn't an okay film. The best thing in that film is Angelina Jolie's cheekbones. But now we've got Cruella. So Emma Stone playing the duochromatical follicled protagonist of 101 Dalmatians.
Indeed. And this is how she comes about. And do you know what the vibe I picked up? It feels like the Joker. It's got that kind of origin story vibe. Like how exactly. I think this is her doing her Joker, right? Kind of. Except without toning down the nutsness. But it's got that's the vibe I picked up, at least from the trailer and how they've cut it. But her the crucible in which she is formed is the fashion house run by Emma Thompson being deliciously nasty.
Now I'm interested.
Yeah.
Now I'm interested. Okay.
Right. So I didn't know. I think the problem with this is it's rated PG-13 in the US, which you imagine it'd be a 12 over here. So it's pretty broad potential audience. I'm just not sure who it is for. But then again, Maleficent made enough money that they went and made a sequel.
Okay. Well, I mean, I wasn't interested because it's a Disney origin story. So I was like, meh. You mentioned Emma Thompson's in it, which is always great. But you've buried the lead on this story.
I have, haven't I?
You've buried the one man who will guarantee me to be bum on seat in cinema to watch this. And I'll take Little B with me if appropriate. And that man is... Mark Strong.
Yes.
An actor hero. So fine, he made the Green Lantern watchable. That's how good he was.
Yep. Now, perhaps worryingly for you, he's in precisely one shot in the trailer. But, you know, I imagine if he's in the trailer at all, that's a good sign. He's going to be a significant amount of the film. No idea what he's doing in the film, but he's there.
I mean,
that's it, right? I didn't see anyone else of note as the trailer whizzed by. It's fully. Oh, there's at least one other sort of sidekick for Emma Stone in it, but I didn't recognise her. It's 100% a battle of the wills between the Emmas, and it actually, you know, I'm intrigued. It looks like it might be fun.
The Devil Wears Prada, but instead of getting a new understanding for her boss, she goes to the dark side.
It is the Glenn Close connection, right? Because Glenn Close has played Cruella, and then she was in Devil Wears Prada. And yeah, you're absolutely right. Was she not?
Glenn Close, now you're thinking, now as Meryl Streep did. It was Meryl Streep was the evil one in Devil Wears Prada, and Anne Hathaway was the young girl.
Okay, but in which case, scrub my terrible movie knowledge and ignoring.
See, this is where you have me
mix
here.
People
see,
up all the time.
You do the research, and I just correct you. Oh, so sorry.
Yeah. Someone's got to do it. Yeah. So there you go. Yes, you've nailed it. It is definitely Devil Wears Prada Disney edition.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You see.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a couple of minutes and one last film to do quickly. Right. I'm going to move us on. I know you. I know you're still musing, Cruella.
I'm still musing on Cruella. I'm. It's a soft yes for Cruella. Go on.
Okay.
Go on then.
All right. Here we go. Quickly, and I think this might be the best bet because there's four people in you can pick for a start, and that is A Quiet Place Part 2, which has been on the shelf for such a long time.
Well, it came out and then it didn't because it was a huge marketing push on it, and it was released, and then they closed all the cinemas down. So it's technically been out. Now, this, to clarify, even though it's technically been out and it's back again, this will still score. It will still score for you. So everyone who's in this is scorable. Scorable?
Yes.
Is scorable a word?
Right. Yes, scorable is 100% a word. Director John Krasinski.
Yep.
You can pick, starring Emily and Cillian Murphy. You can have both of them. And Jimon Hounsou is also in it.
Oh, is he in it?
Cheaper. Yeah. These guys are more expensive. You're talking about 10 or 11 million Fufflebucks, but I think it will pay off. Because it's worth noting, this is a PG-13 as well.
So I haven't seen A Quiet Place. I don't do jump scare horror movies. They're not
neither
my
do
thing.
I, but it's worth this. It's all right. It passes my I don't do horror test. It was okay. You'll be all right.
So this is, this is just more of the same. This is just more of the same people, right? This is just...
The next chapter. Yeah. It's called Part 2. It's right there in the title.
Sweet. I think that's going to be a big one. I think that's going to be the one that's going to get people back into
that's
the cinema because that needs proper silence and a big screen, and then you can jump and scare the life out of yourself.
Indeed.
Brilliant. Okay.
Yeah. So I left it to the end, but that's the one that I think we should be banking on.
I got to be honest with you, because you haven't considered the fact that the schools are on spring break next week. I think Cruella might be good, and Peter Rabbit's still kicking around there as well, which is the issue. So we need to to kind of think of that. But
there's some fresh meat in there.
Cool. Okay. Right. Well. Cool. We're flying through this, aren't we? Right. Okay. Yep. Let's just crack on. So we've got guests.
We do. So many guests.
I've got to tidy up and everything. We've got so many guests. So this
we've
is
gone
a bit
from
of a first
no,
for us.
No guests to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is insane.
It's because we're getting a little bit too clever and because we've worked a lot out now. Usually you and I are in the same room doing this, but for once.
Yeah, in the past, at least. So
we talked about this very kind of tangentially on the podcast before, but we've got like a secret project running in the background, which we didn't tell anybody about because we were a little bit afraid that it might go rogue and try and kill everybody. But thankfully that's not happened.
Yeah. I mean,
because real life.
Yeah. It's hiding in plain sight because we've got an artificial intelligence playing the game against the human players.
So we've got on the line here.
And doing alarmingly well.
Yeah, and that's why we got them on, because we want to make sure that they're not cheating here and they're doing it properly. So I'd like to introduce Mike. So Mike, hello Mike, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Welcome to the podcast. We've also got your team here as well, but we'll introduce them in a second, Mike. And maybe you can just give us a little bit of an intro, tell us who you are and what you're doing in our game.
Yeah, so we'll just leave it as Mike.
Or okay, Muslim excellent.
Muslim Barnum again. And I played for a few years at the FFL, really enjoyed it. But in my work life, I actually set projects for university students to give them something to do as part of their courses, and to support the universities and support the students in their learning. And so I thought I'd bring the two together this year. So I defined a project for a team to develop some software to play the FFL. And we set that up last year, and some teams pitched for to actually undertake the work. And the team that's with us, we call it Team 10, won that pitching process and then started to work on the project.
Great. So team 10, which you need to work on the name, that's, and you need to kind of, anyway, we've got Jack, we've got Thomas, we've got Sammy, we've got Jailin, and we have got Kim Ming as well. So you guys work together as a module. You started, from what I understand, you started working in, is it September or October on this?
Yeah, September. Well, October was when we actually started working on the project, because before that we had to apply to a few. And then this is the one that we got. And this was also the one we really wanted. So we got quite lucky with that.
Good answer. Good answer, Sammy. Thanks very much.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
yeah.
The plan.
Quick. So obviously, are you film fans as well? And has that helped? Or, and maybe you can kind of outline exactly what you have programmed into the system.
Yes, so I think... I mean, I'm definitely a film fan, definitely keep up with it. A bit more of the Marvel side and all that kind of thing, all the action stuff. But yeah, we pretty much had to just make a system which by the end would be able to completely run by itself and update as it goes along with playing the game, you know, in terms of making the movies that it wants to keep, not to keep, which actors to put in, and trying to make it as completely hands-free as possible.
Right. Okay. So basically you've coded a player. So is it actually making its own choices now? Or, I mean, how much kind of interaction do you put into it? Or is it running like truly independent?
The level of interaction with it is kind of, it decides which actors to select for each week based on like how real world films are forming and things. But we have to like manually input the film choices and things. The AI right. itself just kind of outputs like, this is what you should do in this week, and we just kind of follow what that says. And
so you just do whatever it tells you to do. It'll say, you know, you need to pick you know, John Cena, and you need to pick this one, and you just type those out, you type them in as a selection.
Yeah, so pretty much.
It's like an advisor.
Yeah, like, yeah, I think that's the best
good
way
odds.
To think of it.
Like yeah. Someone on like Ray Winston advertising dodgy betting
just turns up and gives you tips. So what kind of, I mean, how, I mean, obviously our players are doing exactly the same thing. They're looking at films, and we've just covered a couple of films that are coming out next week, and we look at them and we think, yeah, that might be interesting. I quite like, you know, Emma Stone, or I quite like, but you know, what's going on here? How does the AI decide? I mean, what sources of information are you giving it, and how is it making a decision?
I think the main places it's taking information from are two websites. It's the FFL itself and from Box Office Mojo, which I believe you used for like actually getting the charts and things.
We do,
yep.
Done my research. But it uses the kind of data from there to kind of look at films that are either upcoming or currently released. And then like such as the earnings, the genre of the film, the actors in it, and when it releases, and uses all this data to then try and predict how well it's going to perform over the next couple of weeks. And then from there, it looks at the actors in it. And for the ones that are predicted to do the best, it chooses actors from those films and then says to the player to like, you should include these in your fantasy films to hopefully perform the best.
Right. And have you, obviously this year has been a little bit different for us, because normally we would take data from the US and from the UK in terms of box office. So has it adapted to that, or is it just using just one data set rather than two? How Has it had to make any adjustments because of the way that obviously the cinema has been going this year?
Yeah, now it only takes information from the US. I think originally we did plan to try and do US and UK. Obviously, as that wasn't the case, we just focused purely on the US in this model. So it's purely looking at those kind of rankings and predictions rather than, like, it just leaves the UK side completely out of it. So it doesn't consider that at all.
Okay, cool. And then, and Smith, can you look up where they are at the moment? Because I think they're doing really well, and that's kind of annoying, but also really good.
Well, right in the overall rankings, it looks like, because you've got six films in now, and it looks like it's accelerating. Maybe you're putting out more films than you were earlier in the season. Is that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's out? Yeah. We've tweaked the actual algorithm for selection and like replacement a bit as it's gone on. So we've kind of learned from our mistakes in the earlier films and kind
And the player, for anyone who's listening who wants to look up in the chart, is using the cunning pseudonym of Fantasy Film AI, so you'd never guess that it was an AI. And it's currently sitting at 13 out of all the players.
It's not bad. It's better than me.
Which is better than me as well, but then I have to be rather lazy of late. You've made like 102 million Fufflebucks. That's a pretty respectable thing. And I'm looking through the films and... it looks like it's getting more, or you're taking it's picking like the better, the lower cost stars, because it opened up and it was using some quite expensive stars, and now it's sort of, I've looked through and it's getting cheaper. Do you think it's finding better value, or like more better value for money as time's gone by?
Yeah, I think that was like an alteration that we kind of made as a decision, because we realized at the beginning we were buying like the more expensive actors because we thought that might earn the most money, but then we realized that was too much to sink in and you usually didn't earn your money back. So we kind of tweaked the algorithm to, I think now it doesn't choose anyone over 10 million.
Because in the most recent week, you were fifth best earning player in the most recent week, right? Wow. And I think you've been even higher at some points, right? So I think, I think the AI is learning it, or you're improving it, and it's accelerating as you've gone through the season. So yeah, it's kind of quite exciting to watch / terrifying.
Yeah, I think we were third, I think, which we were really happy about.
Sorry, Tom, I missed that. What was that?
I think we peaked at third, which we were really happy about.
That is a serious result.
It's
right?
Very and impressive.
Then, and then when you get those high scores as well, if you're like, you get award, your player will get awards for being in the top 10 and things. So it's sort of, you know, success proves more success. Yeah, that's, yeah. So okay, keep going. You might, I'll be rooting for you to hit number one at some point. That would be,
that's got to be like,
I think if you win the game overall, that will just be worrying as all hell.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because it's making the same decisions that our players make, which is, you know, why should I spend too much money on this guy when I can buy someone who's cheaper and give me the same return? So it's obviously giving you that. I mean, obviously, you know, this is forming part of your work for your university. There's probably a lot of other applications that this would be more suited to rather than just playing some silly game on the internet. I mean, are you thinking about other ways that this can be used? Are you thinking about other applications for this kind of decision-making system, or is this, or are you just complete movie nerds now and this is all that you ever want to do?
Well, I think we kind of showed how it does have an application and a use and is effective and can have a more global scope to, in a sense of bigger, like, applications. But I don't think as a group we've thought too much about it, but it's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, I think one of the applications could be recommendation systems. So if it is able to predict the actual earnings of the movie, it could also predict a person's preferences as well, to suggest them good movies.
That's kind of really weird, really.
And I think for the interface, it was like a data visualization. So you can see how the tendency of the data performs, how they green, how they go going down. So it's like maybe you can use it in something like a virus predict or how the different data performed in a system. So you wow. can just directly click it with the database so you can see all the data, how they perform.
Yeah.
For example, in specific place, how these data green or going down in this place, like this.
That, yeah, that's a good point because there's not, you know, the FFL game is a lot of tables and numbers, but not a lot of graphs or visualizations. And I know some players have built their own spreadsheets to, you know, and so that they can draw their own charts and see where things are going and when, like, you know, their profit and loss crosses a line and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we haven't got around to, well, I say we haven't got around to it. It's been like a decade and we still haven't done it. So it's probably going to be another decade before we get around to doing it on the site. But so you have like a user interface for this AI player or AI advisor. So what's that like?
It's like the main language we used in this interface is Python. So it's use a library called PyQt. Actually, it's a library from C++, which is just the Qt. So it's move this library to the Python, so I can use any features in the C++ and combine it with the Python. So that one is like firstly, I guess say layout about the interface, so that can suit different size of screen. If you just pull the windows to the bigger one or small one, so any small elements will fit this layout. And then I need to, firstly, we have a prototype about what it looked like. That was the end of first semester. That one just simply switch between different weeks to see what's our recommended actual list. And later, I think we can is something more to show how they performs. So the main thought is like, there was main screen to show the overall things, like how this week's recommended list performs. And then when you collect each actors, it will show the information about the single actors, like how he or she performs in this week. And then we can also switch between different movies, like how this movie performed in this week overall week list. It's like this.
Yeah. So you can sort of slice and dice that information. You've got lots of different ways to help you understand what's going on.
Yeah. And for this data, I think I just put the website into the interface. So these table you see, they are using JavaScript and HTML language. So I write a single HTML file in the resources document and put this website into this interface. So actually JavaScript is very useful when you're doing some animation things. So you can see all the graph will just move itself and see the performance looks very good.
That's very cool. I'm wondering if maybe you could send us a couple of screenshots once you've done your presentation at the end of the project, and maybe we could share them if you're happy with that on the like the FFL Twitter or something like that. Because I'm sure other players would be super interested to see, you know.
Well, other players would also be super interested in licensing this off you guys. So I mean, you may have a couple of beers coming your way from a few players who'd probably really be keen. I mean, one of the things that we did when we were approached, when Mike first talked to us about this, we said, absolutely great for you to play, but we won't give you access to the system. So one of the key things that we always said was that the back end's locked, not because of it's super secret or anything. It's just because we wanted to make sure that it was completely fair. So everything that you've done is essentially exactly how an FFL player would play. And Smith just mentioned a moment ago that some players have like super elaborate spreadsheets to kind of help them plan. We got one player's got like a 12 or a 20 tab spreadsheet that's all cross indexed and stuff.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is kind of like
obvious... taking that like to the next level.
And yeah, it's like it's a step up for this. So you just mentioned, so when does this project, I mean, obviously, you know, hopefully the AI is going to run through to the end of the year and you'll be able to kind of, you know, see how well you do. But when does your actual this this project stop for you from a university point of view?
Yes, so well, first of all, we did actually take a bit of information from the top players by watching the earlier podcast. There was one about, I can't remember his name, but he won by a bit of a landslide, and he was talking about his tactics.
Yes. We
were very DM Biggins, one.
That's right. So that was DM Biggins, who's a very, very serious player. So yeah, we did an interview with him, and he talked a little bit about what he did. So you kind of cribbed from that a little bit.
That's
and then
smart.
That's a good
show. We definitely kept note of some of his tactics.
Well, he's probably listening to this now, just absolutely also cursing it.
Yeah, so our project is pretty much finished. We have our actual presentation next week. But yeah, the AI should run through until the end of the year.
Wow. I mean, brilliant. I mean,
Are you aiming for any sort of position? Have you got your eyes on, like, are you aiming for number one, or are you sort of thinking, well, you know, first year out, maybe, what's your thinking? How do you think you're going to do by the end of the year?
I think anything top 10 would be a big success in our eyes, really.
Well, yeah, you're super close to that now, right? I don't think it's going to take a huge amount more.
I think a top 10 finish would be, I think would be really, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, anywhere inside the scoring is good. It's clearly got an idea of how it's to play. And yeah, I mean, it's a really fascinating project. And obviously, you know, as you guys have said, there's a lot more that you can do with this rather than just playing some random film game with some blokes on the internet. I mean, you know, you've got the predictive way, the way they're looking at trends. I'm sure there's probably a few people listening who are already thinking about lots of other interesting ways of using the same kind of model. But I genuinely hope that you guys hit the top 10 with this. I think that would be a really good finisher. And obviously, if I was in charge of universities, you've all got like top marks now, because I think this is a great project. So I think it's a full pass, a full distinction, whatever it works in this. But it's been great. So many more questions I want to ask you guys, but I mean, we're running a bit short on time. But all I just want to say was just, thank you guys for joining us this morning. I know that you're all students, so this is really, really early in the morning for you. So thank you for all being, you know, awake. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck with this module. And, on a side issue, you know, Smith's a bit slow on programming. So maybe if you guys want some, you know, some side hustle work, we can maybe subcontract you for a couple of things coming in. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, there's a couple of work needs to be done. I mean, these guys clearly know what they're doing. So, you know, we could probably do it that way.
This is very true, yes.
And we need to seriously up the game on Whopper, because, you know, we've now got a rival AI sitting inside the system. But
we've got to be worried.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for taking the time. You. And, you know, best luck with your presentation, which is, you said it's next week? Next week.
Yeah, best luck with that.
Fingers crossed on that.
And, as well.
Yeah, and best luck.
Thanks,
and
Mike. Once, and thanks to you guys.
Well, cheers. Well, I mean, I'm just very happy that it's being used. I mean, we never would have thought for a second that we put this together on a game that, you know, a group of side students would actually try and create an AI that plays a game. But it's absolutely fascinating. So yeah, brilliant, guys, thank you so much. And we once you've done your presentation, we can hopefully share some images of the AI, and again expect phone calls from our more serious players asking for their own versions. So thanks, guys, thanks very much. And we'll keep an interest out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So in the gap between us ending the interview with the guys there and coming back to this, we've had like a half an hour conversation about AI stuff. Ray Winston came up at some point in this conversation. So much more I want to cover on this. There's so much stuff. Really fascinating subject. And I'm just a massive geek anyway, but
we can't express how blown away we are that someone is taking this seriously, that they're putting they're prepared to do a university project. Conversely, I can see that it's a great project to do because it's real, right? It's not just some sort of, oh, make up an imaginary system. It's like, do something that's a, that has an impact on the real world.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a bit frivolous, but it's very real.
It's very applicable because, you know, it's trying to work out what it, and obviously as it gets more data, because I mean, as we said when we interviewed the guys there, we haven't given them access to anything else, so they don't have all the historical data. But can you imagine if you gave it like 20 years of box office data?
Yeah.
What it would do. I mean, obviously it would just recommend Jason Statham films at all times, but maybe that's just the Birch addendum to this code.
It would be wise to do because Jason Statham's at number one, right, last week.
There you go. But no, absolutely fascinating. I mean, we had to cut some of that interview because it was just, I mean, wow. But yeah, that's really blown my mind. It's really weird. Right, we need to get back on track. We have talked about Henry Cavill for a while, and back to...
There's more Cavill news?
No. Sure, but it's a really interesting thing, and it's... And there's probably a few people listening now kind of going, oh, I wonder if I can get a copy of that. No, you can't get a copy of that. That's not going to happen. We're not... unless you go and find these students somewhere in the UK and bribe them enough money. You never know. I mean, they're students. They'll probably do it for a couple of pints and a free curry. So, you know, I mean, it should be fine. But but no, that's... Whoa.
Blown our minds, dude.
Absolutely. Whoa. I've nothing else to add. Have you got anything else to add?
We've
dropped in. I didn't ask them. They had to give it a name. They've got to give it a cool... I didn't ask them if it had a cool AI name.
You weren't happy with them being called Team 10. You wanted them to be called like Team Obsidian Max or something like that, right?
But they should have called the AI something. Because, I mean, ours is called Whopper, but ours... I mean, ours is... I mean, no offense to Whopper, but, I mean, wow. Just...
Like
absolutely
sort of like
crazy,
Filmatronic 7000.
The Filmatronic 2000. It's really interesting, and
out, players. It's coming for you.
Yeah, watch out, guys. It's it's really weird, but no, right. That is it. That's it. I'm done. I'm gonna have to go home now. We're back in
Tune
2 weeks
in.
Time.
Let's keep a very careful eye on that in future weeks, how it's doing.
We'll check in with these guys in a few months time and see how it's getting on, but it would be interesting to see what it would do. Obviously the more data it gets, the better it is. We're going back into the conversation again. We should be doing the outro when we're not. Back in 2 weeks time. If you want to speak to us on we didn't even cover Bad Film Club. So much.
So in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be doing two bad film clubs.
In 2 weeks' time, we're going to be having to cover two bad film... Well, no, we're going to...
There might be a gap in,
but there's all kinds of weird stuff going on. Look, we've really messed up this outro. Can I just get back on track?
Yes.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Film League show. It's a little bit different than it was this week. We're genuinely a little bit more polished than this, but we're both just sitting here kind of going, whoa, that was awesome. If you want to get hold of us, the best place to get us is on our Discord group. You can also find us on the Twitter at the FFL, and I'm at Mr. Birch FFL. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with a slightly different thing because there's holidays involved and people are away and stuff because I'm not here. And then we'll get back on track. Hopefully by then the cinemas in the UK will be open. We'll have some of that sweet, sweet UK data.
Mm.
And I think we probably at this point need to have a bit of a big look into the timetables of some of the big films that are coming. And just see how it's all going. So, 2021, it's been weird. It's now got weirder because we've introduced AI.
Mm.
We should just go.
Yes.